Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Someone may ask, what is the big deal about same-sex marriage? Why is this such an important issue? We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber. Matt, the question sometimes comes up, what is the big deal about this issue of same-sex marriage? Let me begin to address something with regards to a theological perspective. There's many other perspectives in terms of the impact on children, the impact on religious freedom and family, the health and well-being impact. But let me talk about the theological impact. If we begin, Matt, with creation, creation has so many magnificent things that occurred. There's so many amazing things within our created known world, things that we're just beginning to learn about and things that we can't even begin to understand. And yet the highest creation, the crowning act of creation, was Adam and Eve in the image of God, man and woman in the image of God. That's the crown jewel, if you will, of all creation. And within that union of man and woman comes husbands and wives, moms and dads. And that union has three components that are different than any other relationship. We can talk about it and break it down. One, let me just say them, and then we can break them down. It has a unitive component, it has a procreative component, and it has a spiritual component. Those three are significant that no other human relationship has, like marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Jesus in Matthew 19 defined what marriage is. From a theological perspective, people always say, Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. Well, yeah, he did. He embraced the full Jewish moral code, and homosexuality was top of the list of sexual behaviors that were categorized under the Jewish law as immoral. So that goes without saying. But Jesus affirmatively said what marriage was. He reiterated the Genesis account in Matthew 19. So, and in that, he talked about this unitive aspect of marriage, that it brings two different binary opposites together to become one flesh.
Yeah, there's no other relationship that does that. A mother with a daughter, a father with a son, your best friend. You can be good friends, you can have this relationship, but there's not a union of the two. But in marriage, there is this unitive component that no other human relationship has. The two shall become one flesh in Genesis, and Jesus repeats that. The Apostle Paul repeats that in Ephesians 5. The second aspect is procreative. The highest crown jewel of creation is man and woman in God's image. As part of the procreation, we are able to participate in that creation. We're able to give birth through this union to another human being that is created in the image of God. No other human relationship is able to do that, not two men, not two women. The third thing is spiritual. In Ephesians 5, it talks about husbands and wives and the relationship to one another. And as Christ gave his life for his church, husbands ought to give their life for their wife and love them. And then it says the two become one flesh. And then it also says, I'm speaking of a profound mystery, because I'm really speaking about Christ's relationship with his church. Through the incarnation, where divinity came into humanity and united himself, Jesus, God united himself with humanity in the person of Jesus, that this marriage relationship somehow teaches us about God and the incarnation of Christ in a way that no other human relationship does. It has a spiritual component. So the three different areas of marriage that are totally unique are unitive, procreative, and spiritual. And I want to talk in a moment about the creation and the audacity of the created being shaking its fist at the face of the Creator and saying, you got it all wrong. We know better.
Well, and there's something in the context of today's debate that's on raging over this, that all three of those aspects of those three building blocks that make up marriage, the unitive, the procreative, the spiritual, that none of those, interesting, you'll note, none of those is gay marriage applicable. They don't apply to gay marriage at all. In fact, they're anathema to gay marriage. All three of them are exactly out of touch and opposite. Like two magnets, when you try to push them together, they push away from each other. Procreative, we've already talked a little bit about the unitive aspect. The procreative aspect, guess what? Every single human being on the planet throughout history has had a mother and a father. It may be an absent mother, an absent father, but now we have, in the context of so-called same-sex marriage, people creating these makeshift, you know, families, trying to redefine the natural family. And in order to do that, there has to be a third party involved here. So we have two men, two women getting together and intentionally, deliberately creating motherless and fatherless homes. And so they try to bypass and circumvent the procreative aspect of marriage in order to perpetuate a counterfeit.
And there's consequences to doing so for the children and family, and certainly for our society. Think of this, Matt. I've been thinking about this particular illustration. Assume that you're looking at Michelangelo. He spends all of his life preparing and perfecting the art of painting that only he can do, in such great artistic work that it literally stands the test of history and ripples through time. And so as part of his creative effort, he paints hours and weeks and days and years on the Sistine Chapel. And when it's done, it's beautiful, it has meaning, it has order, it has purpose, and it stands the test of time. We still marvel at the beauty and the magnificence of the Sistine Chapel. And you remember the picture of God touching his finger to Adam's finger and the creation of human life. That picture is known through the ages around the world and will continue to be as long as the world lasts. And that particular painting, as Michael now is looking at this, and enjoying the creative work that has just been accomplished, here somebody walks into the Sistine Chapel with a paint bucket and a big brush and says, "Michael, you got it all wrong. This is frankly ugly," and gets up there and thinks he knows better and starts splashing paint all over this beautiful creation and destroying it. Imagine the creative energy that Michael is now experiencing just simply being trampled over. And yet here we've got God, who is the creator, who knows the creation that he created, and the crown jewel of all the magnificent things he created is you and I in his image, that has the unity of the procreative and the spiritual component. And then the created being shakes its fist at God and says, we've got a better idea, God. We're going to change what you created, and we're going to elevate it and promote it and put laws around it and try to protect it, because we think we know better. The audacity of the created being shaking its fist at the natural creation of God Almighty.
Well, and worse than that, Matt, and doing it and embracing sexual immorality and behaviors that, and I don't say this to be mean, that Scripture calls vile affections, and that God calls an abomination. And then to try to build on this building block of vile affections and abomination, something that is supposed to be equal to, akin to what God created, God's union of a man and a woman, it's offensive. It's shaking its fist at God, as you mentioned.
Well, you can go to Liberty Counsel's website. Liberty Counsel is dedicated to advancing religious freedom, the sanctity of human life, and the family. I encourage you to look at some of our resources there. Sexual Sabotage by Dr. Judith Reisman. Whatever the Cost by David and Jason Benham is a very powerful, very good read. I encourage you to read it. You can get it at lc.org. Stand for Family, Life, and Liberty. You can go to lc.org or libertycouncil.com. Liberty Counsel is advancing religious freedom, the sanctity of human life, and the family through education, litigation, and through public policy. Join us in this ministry in prayer. We have the Liberty Prayer Network, and we have hundreds and many prayer intercessors around the country, literally around the world, praying for the ministry of Liberty Counsel, praying for our country. Join us in prayer for our country, that God ultimately heals our land. And also participate in the Ministry of Liberty Council. Don't get discouraged. Get energized. This is a time for which you and I were born. This is a time where God can be glorified, and this is a time when the church can be the church of Jesus Christ. Go to Liberty Council's website, pray for the ministry, continue to support Liberty Council financially. That website again is lc.org. That's lc.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.